So this reckoning around race norming as a concept, as a practice, Ryan, because that is now under the public microscope. What are experts saying about the future of that practice, even beyond this settlement?
A number of experts that we've sort of communicated with during this have said the practice has to go.
Ryan Smith has been reporting for ABC and ESPN's Outside the Lines on whether the NFL's massive settlement over medical damage from concussions discriminates based on race.
And it has to go because we look at race differently these days. And it speaks a lot to how we view things in our country. This, for many people, is the epitome of institutional racism, systemic racism, that you needed a process to look at Black people differently by race in order to understand them is what I think you would say. A lot of Black folks, me included really, would say, why do you need to look at me differently to understand me and what I'm going through? This is what systemic racism looks like. Because I walk into a doctor's office, you should be viewing me no different from a white person who walked into that very same office. You don't need anything further to understand what I'm going through, except what I tell you and what your teaching and your learning tells you about how to analyze me and how to help me.
Former NFL players and their families have long criticized the NFL's program for compensation around concussion claims. And now, in the opinion of medical experts, a key attorney, a federal judge, and the NFL itself, those criticisms centered around race norming have a point. Today, why minds were changed, how the program could evolve, and what it means for those seeking help to pay for the damage done. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, June 8th. This is ESPN Daily. Ryan, I'm so excited to talk to you today. Thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
So we last talked in February when you had shared your reporting on former NFL players who'd filed for compensation over concussions they'd sustained during their time playing in the league. Their claims in your reporting were denied or disputed, and race was a factor in that decision.
Yeah, Pablo, the way it works is when a player believes that he has sustained head injuries while playing and the resulting factors have led to some sort of ailment, dementia, trouble thinking, functioning, the NFL Concussion Settlement Program has a process where they apply, get looked at by neuropsychologists, and then that neuropsychologist goes to a claims administrator and says, I believe this person's entitled to an award for their care, or maybe not. So the problem here, as we uncovered in our reporting, was part of the methodology that these neuropsychologists were using was something called race norming. It's also called demographic adjustments. The idea is the neuropsychologist is looking at this player, evaluating their claims, but they're looking at them through a particular lens that takes into account age, education, but also race. The way it played out in the analysis was to look at a Black player and a white player before they even step on the field as if the Black player has a lower cognitive level than the white player. That inherently made it harder for them to prove that their ailment was worthy of compensation. It appeared that the doctors believed that it was required, but the NFL was saying it was recommended. And to make it a bigger issue, the NFL, sometimes when these awards were given to particular Black players, the NFL was appealing and saying, you didn't apply these race norms, these demographic adjustments that include race. In some of those cases, those claims were then being denied after the NFL appealed.
Ryan, the administrators of this massive legal settlement and the NFL itself, they maintained that the process for filing claims was appropriate. That includes allowing doctors to use race norming in their evaluation, and it allowed the NFL to appeal the claim if doctors did not use it. So explain what their position has been up until very recently.
So you have to think of it in terms of their position. You have to think of it as in terms of when the settlement agreement happened. This is back in 2013. And part of what class counsel, the person representing the players in this, Chris Seeger, told me was, back then, the use of these demographic adjustments for age and education and race, it was designed as a tool for neuropsychologists to get a better understanding of the person who just walked in their office. But where it gets very interesting, Pablo, is over time, what was supposed to be a diagnostic tool ended up being, for many critics, a discriminatory tool.
Right, right. And so now, Ryan, in the light of day, the NFL has changed its stance. So as of now, what is the league saying they're going to do?
The statement they're making now is, we're going to get rid of this. We're going to do all we can to try to get rid of this. But they're also considering alternatives as to what to use in its place. And the NFL and the class council who represents the players, they still have to come to an agreement on all of this. And that becomes another critical issue.
So we'll dive into the future of this in a second here, Ryan. But I want to understand better what exactly happened to get us to this point of a new reckoning.
Yeah.
One of the key figures in all of this, who's been outspoken now about the claims process being unfair, is Christopher Seeger. So explain who he is and what's happened with him.
So Christopher Seeger is class counsel for the former players who negotiated the concussion settlement program with the NFL. He was selected among a number of lawyers by Judge Anita Brody, who presides over this entire case. And he negotiated the settlement with the NFL. And back then, he made the point of, hey, it's not perfect, but this is a great deal.
You're not going to hear me try to claim that it's perfect. It's the result of a litigation, and nothing that comes out of a litigation is perfect, but it's good.
He even told me that the expectation initially was there might not be any settlement between the NFL and former players, and he ended up getting close to $1 billion. So he saw this as a real success. But part of the institution of all this was how to analyze these claims, which included this aspect of race norming. Now, what becomes interesting about Chris Seeger was a couple of months ago when we started doing this reporting and all of this came to light, Chris Seeger made it clear that he did not see evidence of discrimination.
We sensed that something was happening on this, but we saw it case by case. Did not have the impression it was going on systemically. There's no evidence of that at this point, but it happened more than a few times.
And that outraged many former black players who looked at it like, hey, I have filed a claim and my claim has been rejected. I need money to survive for my medical care. And you, who's representing us, doesn't see any evidence of discrimination and are not willing to fight on our behalf? So Chris Seeger told me in a sit-down exclusively with us that, looking back, that he was wrong.
I was wrong. I didn't have a full appreciation of the scope of the problem.
He shouldn't have reacted so quickly, that he didn't fully understand the issue at the time, and that once he started digging in, he did see that something was wrong here and it needed to be eliminated.
You know, when you think you know everything, sometimes you don't. But the closer I looked, the more I realized that this had to go.
Talking about race norming. So he says he's in the process now of reviewing all these claims that have come up in the past that might involve race norming to see what needs to happen with them.
I need to conduct an investigation, which I'm in the process of doing. And if that results in me having to score every single claim again, especially where race norming was applied, I will fight to have that done.
So Mr. Seeger has in many ways done something that a lot of lawyers might not do, which is admit that they were wrong about an issue.
I fight hard for these folks, and I am not going to be the guy who tries to cover up something. But what I can do if a mistake is made, I can come on ABC with you and tell folks what I'm doing. Some people were hurt by this, but I'll get it fixed. Some people were offended by this, and for that I'm sorry. But take some solace in the fact that we're going to make some changes here.
Coming up, what the different sides say about why race norming was used at all.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Yeah, we just don't see an about-face happen like this that often, Ryan. And it's important to say, too, that Christopher Seeger did not come to that particular new position all by himself, because in addition to your reporting and the lawsuits filed by players, a federal judge has been active on this issue in particular. What did this judge say in March?
Judge Anita Brody has been the administrator of the NFL Concussion Settlement Program since it was negotiated and agreed to in 2013. After the initial round of reporting that we did and others did, she got involved and she told both parties that they need to go back to the negotiating table and figure out the race norming issue, figure out what to do about this. It seemed as if she was telegraphing this idea of, hey, this is not what we're supposed to be doing in this settlement. So you two get back to the table, NFL, class counsel, and you find a way to deal with this issue so that we don't have black players being looked at as different from white players in analyzing claims.
So Christopher Seeger, the lawyer for all the players involved here, those who've already made those claims, Ryan, those who've been denied benefits, he's calling out this claims process as now officially discriminatory based on race. But I want to get to this too. He was the one who shaped the original terms of the claims process. So yep. What does he say in terms of addressing that specifically?
He says a couple of things. The first thing is he says, in essence, it was a different time.
When you go back to 2013, 2014, it was always in there as a possibility. Demographic adjustments were always part, because they were part of neuropsychology, were part of the settlement agreement.
And he, being the lawyer, is not the person that knows about the medical side in this level of detail. So his thought was, as he expressed it to me, was, hey, I negotiated the settlement, but I relied on a number of experts in neuropsychology. We had all these people involved, and they came up with these methodologies in terms of evaluating players for claims.
What we attempted to do in the settlement is to replicate what goes on in a doctor's office. We didn't tell neuropsychs what tests to apply, and we expected them to use independent judgment as a medical professional. And in this case, I expected them to apply the same standards to the same players.
And so he relied on those people. The other part of this that is very interesting is that Christopher Seeger maintains that this was not a required practice.
It was definitely not required. But did I think that neuropsychologists would apply race norming in this NFL concussion settlement? No.
So in some ways, Pablo, he places the blame on the neuropsychologists analyzing the players, saying, hey, this is recommended. This isn't required. So if you're applying these race norms, that's on you. You should not be doing this. You should not be doing something that in some ways treats black players as differently from white players.
I don't know why they would even think it's appropriate. They're either hiding behind their lack of courage or they're just plain wrong.
That's very interesting, because we uncovered emails of neuropsychologists in our initial wave of reporting.
Yes.
Talking amongst each other saying, we believe this is required, and this is something that discriminates against black players. And if we do this, if we don't apply these norms, the NFL comes calling us saying, how come you're not applying these norms or appealing our decisions? So you can see that in some ways, the lawyer is saying, hey, this is on the neuropsychologists in many ways. And the neuropsychs are saying, hey, but we're here just to sort of follow directions, and we're getting pressure from the NFL and others to say, you got to apply these norms.
But as apportioning of blame goes, it's worth saying, too, one of the NFL's main defenses has always been that this settlement, the terms of it, it had been agreed to by the players. And by the players in that phrase, that refers to Christopher Seeger.
Yes. That puts Christopher Seeger in a difficult position, because the NFL can look at it and say, hey, we're not appealing for some sort of discriminatory intent here. We're appealing because we're allowed to appeal. So when somebody gets a claims award for $2 million and we look over the claim and we say, hey, these norms weren't applied. Well, look, that's part of the process. We're supposed to be able to appeal. We're simply applying what's under the settlement agreement. That is why Christopher Seeger, in many ways, seeing the groundswell of support amongst Black players, seeing the reporting that we're doing and that others are doing, started looking at this and seeing the writing on the wall and saying, hey, we got to get rid of this thing.
I'm really sorry that anybody, any client of mine in this program has been made to feel that way. That was a big mistake. It was a failure of the system.
I think for Christopher Seeger, it's a very difficult position to be in. You negotiate an agreement some 8, 9, 10 years ago, and the after effects aren't always perfect, but they impact your clients. In some ways, that's why a number of former Black players are protesting his involvement in trying to resolve this going forward, and they want him removed.
So as all of this now public behind covering is working its way through this conversation, Ryan, it is essential to return to what you just said there, which is there are real world impacts in the lives of these former players and their families who want justice. They want compensation here. What are they saying now about what they want?
Pablo, I'm so glad you bring that up. What they want is change. But they also want a degree of satisfaction. Here's what I think your listeners really need to understand. They watch football games. They see their favorite players playing. It's amazing. It's amazing for the people playing. It's amazing for the fans. But when their time is through and they file these claims, these folks have struggled for years.
Mm.
So imagine somebody is suffering from the debilitating effects of dementia at 33 or 35 or 36. They can't function. They can't work. Family members, wives. We spoke to scores of wives who are quitting their jobs to now take care of their husbands and their families.
Yes.
And they've been doing this for years with no financial support. Imagine they've been going through all that and getting their claims approved. So there's that initial sense of elation for, you know, $1 million, $2 million, and then getting their claims denied because the NFL is appealing on bases like race norming. So for them, talk is cheap. They want to see action. Fix it now. I need to go back to a job now. My husband needs the medical care he's been needing for years now. I'm afraid that this person might end up in the hospital, my husband, now. That's where they are. And Pablo, I'll just say this. I spoke to about 12 players' wives, and they all had variations on the same point to me, which was, our husbands sacrificed their bodies and their lives for this game. And you turn your backs on them, not just on the basis of you think the claim is invalid, but you think the claim is invalid because Black players are different from white players. That to them was the ultimate insult on top of everything they have had to do to try to support their loved ones, not over months, but over years for many of them.
After the break, how the claims process might change and how that impacts those former players who've been waiting for years.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Ryan, it looks like everyone involved now agrees the claims process needs to change. And we're talking about thousands of former NFL players and their families who are already involved in this program and have been for several years now. They're people who've felt and expressed a real personal urgency here. So what does finally changing this process actually look like?
A little bit complicated. I just want to put it in this position. If I'm looking at it from the NFL's eyes, it's kind of like this. They're looking at it like, here's the way you analyze claims. and now you're going to take out an element of it. Let's put something else in to make sure we're properly analyzing the claims. And maybe class counsel will argue, you don't need to do that. Let's just move on quickly. These guys need satisfaction, these players and their families. And at the center of this, Pablo, becomes the thing that everybody needs to keep their eye on, money. Mm. These claims, I'm talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars per player and their family. So are we talking about 10 claims? Are we talking about 100 claims? Are we talking about 1,000 claims? Are we talking about more? Will others file claims as a result of this? Hearing this news saying, well, I was afraid to do it before, but now I'm not. It remains to be seen. Chris Seeger told me, hey, you got 32 owners and they have a lot of money.
The ability to pay is there. There's no question about it. We've got 32 billionaires there. They got plenty of money.
It's a true statement. But at the same time, you and I both know from covering the NFL, their willingness to part with that money is not always as quick as many people think it maybe should be.
Ryan, as we're describing what would be a saga of untangling, of unraveling, there needs to be, I guess, some norm of some sort to compare test scores against such that there can be a distribution of funds. Where does that norm, the new one, where does that even come from?
The process is still always going to begin with a player believing they have a problem and, because of the settlement agreement, being able to avail themselves to an appointment with a neuropsychologist and get analyzed. And then the neuropsychologist is going to make a filing to a claims administrator. They're going to make a decision. Here's the part about lawyers. It's lawyers' job on the NFL side to look at that and say, if we don't believe this is a situation where a claim should be paid, then we're going to appeal and we're going to fight it. That's never going to change. The fight on claims is always going to be there. The question is, how will the methodology change in analyzing players?
And Ryan, as they're seeking to disentangle all of this and set these new processes, they've convened a new panel, the NFL has, to take on these questions of this new process, right?
Right. So it's going to work in some ways the way it worked in 2013. Neuropsychologists getting together, forming an expert panel, trying to decide the best way to analyze claims of former players. Now, what's interesting about this panel is that it includes two women and three black doctors. And the NFL mentions this in their statement, perhaps as a way to telegraph that, hey, we will have people involved in this process who will make sure that we don't have discriminatory practices. But the idea is whatever replaces the old system is going to be applied going forward. And looking back, it might be very costly for the NFL. It might cost millions and millions of dollars, but it's meant to assure former players and their families that, hey, if you had an award out there that was given to you that we appealed or that was for some reason rejected, or maybe even a neuropsych said you're not entitled to an award because of the application of these norms, then there'll be consideration as to whether or not that claim will now be paid.
So, Ryan, right now I want to look back at your original reporting that we discussed several months ago, because you were talking to two former players in specific, Kevin Henry and Najee Davenport, whose cases had been dismissed, who had protested that outcome. And all of this seems to stem from the fact that stories like theirs had been brought to light. So what happens for those men in specific now?
Well, from what we know, and this is a little bit of a process that needs to play out, the thought, at least for one of them, is that their claim might be reconsidered. But I think they're probably going to have to wait for this process to play out a little bit. Now, one thing I do know is, because Chris Seeger has mentioned it, the lawyer for those players, he has now invited them into the process of negotiating with the NFL, letting them be a part of these discussions with the NFL as to what the resolution is going to be. So that's a huge plus for them, because in many ways, that's what they've been fighting for. They even petitioned the court to be involved in the discussions. And now class counsel is saying yes. But for these two men now, I can't sit here and say, Pablo, while we're in this conversation, that they're going to get paid. We just don't know. And the big wild card for me, and maybe this is just me as a cynical lawyer, Pablo, the big wild card for me is the NFL going to look at cases like Kevin's and Najee's and say, you know what? The race norming's been eliminated. We've changed the methodology. But still, we don't think they're entitled to an award. That, in many ways, would be the real travesty.
So it would seem to raise a logical question. If they're going to tinker with that process and undo race norming in that way, is it fair to wonder if a majority of those claims had been affected adversely, affected negatively?
It is. It's fair to wonder. And we don't know. And I'm glad you brought up this point. Because one thing former players, especially former Black players who are involved in this, have been saying is, release the data. Give us the data on what percentage of Black players versus what percentage of white players or other players have received compensation. The league is 70% Black. How many players have filed claims? And are we looking at numbers where an overwhelming number of claims that have been satisfied and awards that have been paid have been to white players? And why is that? We don't know those numbers. And the NFL to date has not been willing to release those numbers. Chris Seeger and his team are trying to go back and see who's been affected by race norming, but it still brings up a different issue, a bigger issue about data. I think for many of these players, they're dubious of this entire system.
So to bring it full circle here, Ryan, is a reform of this process, is getting rid of that practice, is that going to be enough for them? Or are they looking for something, damages maybe, additionally, something else they want from the league?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Pablo, I think from talking to a number of these families, I think getting rid of race norming is not going to be enough. What's going to be enough for them is getting paid, getting their claims paid. And this is what I really want people to understand. You know, sometimes you cover a story that just affects you so much that you go home and you say, I can't believe that people are going through this and more people don't know about it. These are folks that have had to move to particular areas, that have had to change their entire lives to design their lives around the care of their loved one who played football in the NFL. The only solution that's going to work is for them to have financial support in some way. And I don't think many people I talked to wanted damages over and above the claims award they thought they were entitled to. I never heard anybody say that. It's, he gave everything he had to you, NFL. Our family is in turmoil. Pay us now. So I think that's what satisfies them. Not just the change, but the help now.
Ryan Smith, thank you so much for staying on this story and bringing it to us.
Sure thing, Pablo. Thanks for doing this.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.